He is the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, the skipper, Mr. Charlie Manuel. How are you, Charlie?
Doing great, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing phenomenal. Probably not as good as you. You heard what I just said about the parade and the celebration and everything else. I was there the night that you won in the stands, and the people screaming and yelling, Charlie, Charlie, Charlie. Did you expect that?
No, not really. But I could see why they did it, because they were very over. They were having a lot of fun because they won. They were overjoyed with us winning. And it was big to them. And it actually, once that we won the game that won the World Series for us, the game kind of seemed like it come irrelevant. And the fans, everything about it was real. And it became about the city of Philadelphia and our fans. And, you know, like, and how much it, like they wanted to show how much that they loved to come out and watch us play, and how they're proud, they were proud to be in a city that won a World Series and things. I mean, it was all real, and it was great. It was, everything about it was just tremendous.
Well, Charlie, obviously you're the manager of the team that broke the curse here, the 25 year drought of championships without a championship. You know all about that. You've heard it as it was going on, and you've become a sort of a folk hero in this town. I mean, you've replaced Rocky as our folk hero. What does that feel like?
You know what? It's a tremendous feeling. It's a feeling, because, like I just got through saying, it was all real, the parade and everything, and you know, like, how the fans reacted, how the town reacted, and I think that they definitely showed their love and how much that they pull for us, and how proud they are of our ball club, and our guys, of course, our players did a tremendous job. And you know, like, they play with a lot of intensity and energy, and we got a lot of talent on our team, and they kind of fell in love with who our team, who that we are, you know.
Not that he needs an introduction, but Charlie Manuel, the manager of the Phillies, here with us on 950 ESPN. Charlie, media types who describe you, yours truly included, say, the players play for Charlie Manuel. They go out and hustle for Charlie Manuel. They like Charlie, and they show it on a daily basis. How do you get something like that done?
I think it's something that kind of comes within how I go about my day-to-day activities and who I am as a person. I think, first of all, most players that play the game, and especially at the major league level, they want to perform at their top peak all the time, if that's possible. And, you know, like, and we talk about having fun and playing baseball every day and playing that game to win. And it gets down to a point where 162 games is a long season. But at the same time, we try to stay focused on, you know, our goals and the fact that how much we love to play baseball. And I think the guys buy into it. And I think basically it's who we have on our team and the type of individuals, the attitude and the chemistry. And I give all the credit to our players.
Well, that I'm going to follow up with that too, because you're going to be 65 here pretty soon, am I right?
You're right.
Okay, so you're talking about guys, you know, in their 20s, you know, some in their 30s and so forth, and the modern day athlete is a lot different than it was 20 or 30 years ago. That's for sure. The money is a whole lot different. How does a guy, and you know, is going to be, he's in his mid 60s. How do you identify with guys in their 20s, you know, on a day to day basis through a long season, and get them up to play? Because your calling card, one of your big calling cards, was keeping that clubhouse loose.
Yeah, we, you know what, first of all, I'll let them play, but I have eye contact with them every day. I'll talk to them every day. I'll say hello to them, and I'll talk about different things. And this, it's not necessarily baseball. Sometimes I talk about golf. I'll talk about fishing. I'll talk about their families. I'll talk about their daughter, their son. I just get to know every one of them. And actually, I get to know everybody that works around here. And I think just who I am, I'm a people's person, and I like to talk. And I think I'm a good listener, and I think our guys get into playing, and they enjoy it. And I try to, I try to preach it. I want them to be the best possible player that they can be. And if there's any problems or something, I try to hit them off, and I don't let things develop that I think I should take care of. And I think that they buy into everything that we sell. And I think that's the joy when our players say, hey, I like to play for Charlie Manuel. Sometimes I think that people take that out of hand, is that I'm, Uncle Charlie, or that I'm not very tough or things like that. And I consider myself, from a standpoint of, of playing the game and you like how it's supposed to be played and the attitude and everything. I think I might be the toughest manager in baseball, and I mean that.
That's a good attitude to have, Charlie. Two-part question. It's about in-game moves. How did it feel to outmanage first Dale Swain, which he was the manager for about 20 minutes, but then Joe Torre and a little bit of a media darling, Joe Madden, getting to the World Series and winning it? Because if you go move for move, decision for decision, you got the better of two guys who are pretty damn highly respected around this game. How'd that feel to you?
Well, you know, like I think sometimes, when things don't happen, you know, like the way that you want them to, like when you make a move, well, then that's when the second guessing can begin, and that's only natural. And it's not like that you actually make a bad move, but you know, like by sometimes when guys make a move and it doesn't turn out right, you know, like it definitely the other team benefits from it, and or when the manager, the moves that you make. Like when I hit Dobbs or someone like that, or Matt Stairs or something, I have reasons for doing that. And you like when they work out, well, then you look good and you look like a genius. And sometime if you don't win the game and these guys make out, well, people can form their own opinion. I think it's just a matter of believing in your people and you're like trying to do, you know, like what you think is the best for your team at that moment.
Along those lines, Game 5, World Series. I was surprised when you pulled Matson out as quickly as you did. I thought he was staying in. Did you just believe Romero was going to be able to give you that many outs? I thought you'd go a little bit long, Matson. Hey, it worked. You got it right. I was sitting there going, ooh, I don't know if Charlie's right here in these stands watching it. Give me your thought process on when and why you pulled Matson.
I think if Ryan's one of these guys, that if you, especially down the second half of the season, actually the last month of the season, he got real hot and he started throwing the ball hard, and I think he got more determined, especially when we blew a couple games in Chicago and he was a part of that against the Cubs. I think from that day on, I think he started staying focused and he really got it barred down in his work and his pitching spoke for itself. But also, he's the kind of guy that I look at sometimes when he's in the game. You know, like when I got him in the game and when they get a like boom, boom, boom hits in a row off of him, like three hits in a row or something. There's a feel about it that sometimes I want to go get him. And I think what happened down through the back stretch of the season there, if you go back and look, when I kept Romero behind Matson, even when I let Matson start an inning in the seventh and let him continue on in the eighth and he finished, I still had Romero back there. You like to shut him down, you like, especially when the team would bring in left-hand hitters. And I think that really helped our bullpen. It helped also boost Ryan's confidence. And the move you're talking about, to me, you know, like it was easy for me to do that because that was my thinking, and you know, like, and I had a lot of faith in Romero, of course, and you like, and also I was putting Romero on the hitters that I wanted him on.
Hey Charlie, there's a couple situations, at least that happened publicly that we know about during the season, where you sort of had to confront some of your guys. Jimmy Rollins a couple of times with not hustling out of the box, way, way back in, I believe it was June, and then of course he was late for a game up at Shea Stadium, and you disciplined him there, which I thought was tremendous. I stood up for you there. You also had a little confrontation with Brett Myers at one point in time, and everything that you did turned out to be the right move or the right way to handle the situation because the team responded. Was there any time there where you thought, man, you know, I might have done that, you know, I could have done that different way? Any second thoughts before you realized it was the right move?
No, because you know, like when the season starts, you know, like, and we have meetings, like I'll have meetings in spring training. I usually have two meetings, one when we start spring training, one when we leave, and we get all that settled during the season, and I'm always big on being on time and hustle. That's my two rules. And, you know, like, during the season, sometimes we'll get lackadaisic, and we'll start running a little slower to first, and we'll start doing, you know, like, we'll start doing things, or we'll start wanting to come out right at the, if our stretch time or something, 6 o'clock, they will be wanting to come out right at 6 o'clock or something. And there comes the times when I got to just, you know, sit down on them and show them that I mean exactly what I said. And also that comes in discipline. If, you know, when you have an argument or something on the field or in the dugout, manager always, he better step up and take control of it, because if he don't, well, you know, like Dale sense a weakness in you, and you gotta stay strong. You know, like that's all part of doing your job. And I think it every time something happens on our team, I think it, if they know that I'm going to take care of it, or you know, like I'm going to step up, and then and you know, like they're going to hear about that. I think it that kind of helps, you know. You like do what you have to do, but also as a manager, I look at it as, you know, like that's up to me to take care of those things. That's my job, and I'm the only guy that can do that. And you like, and I like the way that our team plays, and I think that's why our fans come out. If you go ask them, they like who we have on our team. They like our energy. They like how we play, and that's one of the biggest things that's won them over in the last 2.5 or 3 years. You know, is the fact that how we go about our business and who we have and how we play the game. And they do, I feel like our team plays the way that I want them to play, and I want them to keep that and that same attitude. I'll say that when I go to spring training that year, first day out of the box.
Charlie Manuel here with us on 950 ESPN. Speaking of spring training, before we get there, any manager, any guy who's getting ready for an upcoming season, he's the skipper of a squad, who doesn't think about what his lineup's going to look like every other day or so, would be lying to you. If he tells you he's not thinking, he's lying to you. So, Charlie, you're not going to lie to me and tell me you haven't been thinking about it. Last time you scribbled down a lineup, when was it and what did it look like?
You know what? When we, like, sometimes when I hear a guy's name mentioned, you're like, possible he's coming to our team, I always sit down and scribble a lineup, and, like, and put his name in a lineup, you know, like, and I, you know, like wherever I put him in that hole. Like last year when we got Felice, I used to pencil him in 6th, 7th, stuff like that. You know, like I put him, see how he fit and how his name looked there and everything. Yeah, I do that all the time. I do it a lot. And here lately, you know, since we got a Bonez, I've been kind of messing with our lineup. Actually, I was thinking about what our lineup would be probably a day after we won the World Series.
There you go.
Yeah, I think about it all the time.
That's the way managers work. The next game is the next day, even if it's not for 6 months. I hear you. Can you hit 3 lefties in a row in the lineup, Utley, Howard, and Bañez? I know he had a real nice year hitting lefties last year, but that's 3 straight lefties. What's the Charlie Scribble look like as of right now?
You know, I think it depends on who we play. If we play somebody like it's got – if just because a left-hand pitcher pitches against it, that doesn't mean that we can't hit 3 lefties in a row. What does mean is that it might be tougher is if that team that we're playing that day starts a left-hand pitcher and they got 2 or 3 lefties in the bullpen. That definitely concerns me because, you know, like, then they can put most all those lefties on our left-hand hitters the whole series if you look at it by situation. And that means Ryan Howard or a Bonez or Utley and them, you know, like they could be hitting 2 and 3 times a game, you know, like on three different left-hand pitchers. That's what I'm trying to say. So yeah, and when a team has got a lot of lefties, that concerns me. But if they don't have a lot, if they got a left-hand starter and no lefty in the pen or one, if I think he's just kind of a situational left-hander, yeah, then I might just fill my lineup with my left-hand hitters in a row. But more likely, you know, like a team that has some, then I'll probably try to mix them up. We can do some things. If you look, we got Victorino and Rollins who are switch hitters. And when I hit Victorino down last year, I hit him 5, 6, 7 sometimes. And, you know, like that can kind of offset them.
Well, Charlie, obviously, with getting up Raul Ibanez, it's waving goodbye to a guy who's been here a long time, has started his career, was a #1 draft pick, Pat Burrell, a fan favorite to be sure, had a big part in what the Phillies did last season along with you. What are your thoughts on Pat Burrell, no longer being with the Phillies, most likely?
I'm going to miss him. I had a very good relationship with Pat. You know, like we had good understanding, we had a good feel for one another. He definitely played a big role in us winning last year. First of the year, Utley and Burrell led us. You know, like when Ryan was kind of struggling a little bit and Jimmy Rollins was hurt. Well, then, you know, like, and he went through the middle of the season, he kind of got into a spell where he didn't do so well, but he picked back up in September and down through the playoffs and series, he got some huge hits for us. And he definitely played a big role in us winning the World Series, of course. We'll miss him, and I'll miss him. But at the same time, this is a game that things like that happens in this game because of the financial part of it. And, you know, things move on. And the guy we got coming in to take his place is I've seen him play a lot. He's a tremendous player. He hustles. He's a tough, hard-nosed player. He's an ugly kind of guy. And you know, like we feel very excited about a guy like that if we got to replace Pat Burrell.
Speaking of the financial aspect of baseball, the Phillies just gave you a nice little contract extension, one you definitely earned. Was that something you pushed for, they came to you about? How did you get a contract extension?
I think when we started talking, and mostly, you know, like when we started talking, I think it I expressed interest in the fact that, you know, like I would like to have a third year. And one reason is, you know, like I will be 65 years old coming up, and, you know, like I've been in this game all my life, and, you know, like, and I feel like that, you know, like one of these days, you know, like somebody might cut me loose from this game, or I might cut myself loose. So, you know, I felt like that that I wanted to be around for a while, and I feel like it, you know, 3 years gave me a good kind of a good window, or actually a real good opportunity to basically see how good a team that we could have here for the next 3 years.
Well, Charlie, we got the holidays coming up here in a few days, and it's just, does Charlie Manuel want to see underneath his Christmas tree a right-handed bat with a little bit of power to stick on that bench? What are you asking for Christmas?
Anytime we can strengthen up our pitching, I like that. But also I like, you know, I do like a lot of our young starting pitching. You like Happ, Carrasco, Kindred's going to get better once we develop a changeup and slider with him. And, you know, so, you know, like I like our pitching, especially it showed how good it could be down the end of the season, especially in the playoffs. Right now I'd say that we could use what I call a good right-hand bat to play part-time and also come off the bench and hit.
Charlie, last thing for me, and I know a manager's job day in, day out is pushing the right buttons. You got to make decisions. You got to make calls. As you said earlier, some you're going to get second guess for. The players are going to play. They're going to get right. You're going to be judged on that. Sometimes it's all about you. Sometimes you don't have to worry about the players.
Yeah, I think it.
Hold on. I have a specific question here.
Okay.
Who made the call on the suit in the parade?
What about this? 2 years ago, this guy made that suit. You know, like when we got in the playoff against Colorado, and the guy Maroney is his last name. He made this suit for me. He was Jimmy Rollins' tailor. He made this suit for me, and I told him, I said, well, I'll wear it when we get in the World Series. And of course, you know, we didn't get in the World Series. We lost three games to Colorado. And he hung the suit in his, you know, like in his business. He hung it, you know, like kept it hung up in plastic and stuff like that. And this year when he called me before we went to the World Series, and I told him, I said, you better be getting that suit over, I said, because we're going to the series this year. And I told him I was not going to wear that suit until we got in the series. He made me that suit, and that's how that's when I wore it.
See, I knew there had to be a story behind Charlie Manuel, man of his word. He made a promise. He said he was wearing a suit. That's why he wore the suit. Charlie, you made me feel better about it because I gave you a little bit of a hard time. You stuck out like a sore thumb that day. And a couple of your players were underdressed, woefully underdressed, and you were slightly overdressed. But now I understand.
Well, Charlie, wearing that suit was a very classy thing on that day at a parade. But one of the things that happened on that day, and I have to get your thoughts on this, Charlie, before we let you go. Chase Utley, you talked about him just a few minutes ago, let a bad word slip in his praise of you know, that day of the parade. I just wanted to get your thoughts on him saying that in front of all those little kids and little, you know, being a role model as baseball players and athletes are, and I just wanted to get your thoughts there.
You know, I 2 days ago when Utley, when Chase, he explained and he apologized on Comcast for it. If you remember, I don't know if you heard about it or seen it, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I got to say about that, and this is what I mean. You know, like I definitely was raised where you have good manners. And you acknowledge things, and you like you definitely respect people, not only elderly people, but also young people and kids. And you know, like, and I felt like that what Utley said that day, you know, like, was it good? I don't think he did not mean it to be wrong. I think that he was expressing kind of how he feels. But to nowadays, if you look back in things that happen, and I'm totally against what I see sometimes when I go out. And if I go to the shopping center, or I'll go to a grocery store, or I go wherever I go, you see young kids, boys and girls, say that word over and over. I mean, you're like, it's unreal. It's just like a common name that people throw out there. And I've never, ever have agreed with, you know, like using language like that. But it's a very free name that kids and grown-ups throw around. And when for him to say that, if it brings a attention to the fact where you're like, we need to sharpen up our language and it's wrong or something like that, then you're like, that right there might be a good way you'd like to correct it, because I think on the street or at the ballpark or wherever you go, I think that is a word that is definitely used too much, and it's not a good word, and I think we should address it from grown up should address that, and make sure that their children understand it, and they shouldn't be saying words like that.
Putting a positive spin on
it. That's right.
Charlie, great stuff. We appreciate it. Have a happy holiday. Before you know it, you'll be heading over to Clearwater. Enjoy, Charlie.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Charlie Manuel here with us on 950 ESPN.